If God be for us, yeah. How many know God is for us? He's for His people. He's with His people. All we need to do is keep our eyes on Him. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. He knows the way. There's an old chorus we sang years ago. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. All right? That's the key. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen to His voice. Amen. He knows the way. And He has instruction for us. He has good counsel. His word is always good. Would you agree? His word is true. It's authentic. It's real. Anything else that doesn't line up with His word is counterfeit. It's false. It's a lie. It's destructive. There's safety in the word of God, in the truth, in the will. And when you know the truth, you're free. God, we just thank You for Your goodness today. Lord, You created all things and for Your pleasure. And we're here together in Your name, Lord Jesus, because we are believers in You, Lord. We believe that You died on that cross for our sins, Lord, that You loved us that much, that You laid Your life down for us. Lord, that we could be saved, we could escape even the wrath to come, and we could stand before You faultless, not clothed in our own righteousness, but in Your righteousness, that our robes could be washed and made clean, made white in the blood of the Lamb. And we thank You, Lord, that You are offering us forgiveness, pardon, and new life, new hope, new beginnings, God. Hallelujah, that we don't have to live out of the past, out of regrets of what was, because, Lord, You said, I will make all things new. And God, forgiveness means a cancellation of the debt. Forgiveness means that You're no longer holding those things against us. Help us, Lord, to forget those things which are behind and press forward into that which You've called us heavenward, Lord, for the high call of the prize that lays before us. Lord, we believe that You are the hope that lies before us, that You are the author and the finisher of our faith, that You are the one who's waiting at the end. And God, we pray that You would make every one of us ready for You. Make us beautiful, Lord, as a bride, as adorned and ready and prepared to meet the bridegroom. For we know the bridegroom is coming. You're coming for a ready church. You're coming for those who are looking for You. Lord, You said, I go away, but if I go away, I will come again and receive You unto Myself, that where I am, there You may be also. Lord, we believe You. We believe Your word is true. God, wake us up inside. And I pray that, Lord, we will have sufficient oil in our lamps, that we will be ready, Lord. We'll be prepared for the day when the call goes out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Prepare to meet the bridegroom. Oh, God, we just pray that we will be a readied, Lord, people in that day. In Jesus' name, as we look to You and as we trust in You, God, for You are our hope. Hallelujah. We don't trust ourselves. God, I pray that You'd grant us the gift of repentance unto life. Lord, that not one would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Father, change our hearts, change our minds, and make Your will our desire, we pray. In Jesus' name. You know, God has good in store for those who wait. Having begun a good work, He is faithful to complete it. We live in an instant society. Everything we've got to have right now, we don't want to wait for anything, you know. And this convenience, you know, today, anything is accessible. We have instant entertainment, you know. We can get on the tablet and be entertained 24/7, you know, and be completely consumed by just vanity. If you don't guard yourself against these things, amen, lying vanities often. And there's some good things on the internet, amen, but there's a lot of garbage too. But God is wanting His people to have hope. When you have hope, you have confidence for the future. Amen. When you have hope, you know that it's going to be okay, and therefore you don't have to be depressed or gloomy or pessimistic. When you're hopeful, you are positive about things. Amen. I'm not talking about being fake or not being real about the realities of our present time. We know there are crazy things happening all over us. Amen. All around us. And yet God is with us. God is for us. And that's all we need to know, is that the Lord is there and the Lord's already taken care of it. The Lord is not stressed out about anything. God's just not worried. Amen? He's not worried, and neither should we. And you know, if you're close to the one who's not worried, you won't be worried either. If you stay close to his heart, amen, you'll have confident assurance. You'll have faith of your heart to trust and know that no matter what happens, we win anyways because God's with us. God's on our side. God is for us. And God has good things for those who wait. And so as God's people, when we have hope, we will sow into our future. When you're hopeless, you'll quit living. You'll quit dreaming. You'll quit looking forward. You'll just look at what's happening right now, and you can get into depression and in a place of where I just feel like, well, nothing's going to happen, so why bother? Or if we entertain too much of just what's going on around us that's negative, that can also produce hopelessness in us as well. And when we get into hopelessness, then we quit living. We just stop to say, well, it's all going to hell in a handbasket, so why plan? Why do anything? Are you hearing me, somebody? How many know the devil wants you to shut down? God wants you to flourish. Amen. To look forward and to bear fruit and to be joyful in all things. But the devil wants to get you into depression, into hopelessness, and to look at everything as if there's just no point, there's no reason, there's no purpose. You know, suicide is at an all-time high because of hopelessness. You know, people are looking, and especially young people, if they're getting fed too much of that information that just says it's all bad, it's all bad, it's all bad. Are you hearing me, somebody? All of a sudden they start to think it's all bad. What's the point? I might as well just live my life for now, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And without Christ, there is no hope. If you don't have Christ, there is no hope for you. But in Christ, we have all hope because we have the God of all hope living in us. Amen. And God has grace sufficient for every need that we have, everything we face. There's no mountain too tall. Amen. There's no sorrow too deep. God is able, amen, to make a way even where there doesn't seem by our own estimation to be any way. But God is bigger than our imaginations. He's bigger than our opinions. He's bigger than the way things appear. Amen. And he's for us. He's not against us. So we need to believe, first of all, that God believes in you. God wouldn't have gone all the way to the cross on our behalf if he didn't have hope for you and for me. If he didn't love us, if he didn't care about us, if we weren't worth anything to God, Jesus wouldn't have laid down his life. Amen. But because we're valuable, amen, we were redeemed. We were bought at the highest price, the highest cost. And God didn't just buy us so we can sit around, amen, and soak and sour. But God bought us and purchased us so that we could come into harmony, into union with him, into intimacy with him, into a relationship with him of trust, amen. And where God would then begin to reveal to us his plan, his superior plan, amen, superior to what we think in our own minds. But God's way is higher than our way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But if we have the Spirit of God in us and we're willing to listen, God will show us and reveal to us God's plans even for the future. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will even do what? He will show you things to come. So in Israel's history, in the book of Habakkuk, they had been constantly warned by the prophet to turn away from their sins, and the people were being stubborn and they refused to repent. And so the time came when the judgment was set, and God says, I'm going to raise up their enemies, the Babylonians, to come and to oppress them in a sense, and to teach them a lesson that they must trust the Lord and not in themselves. And so Habakkuk, who was standing in the gap for the nation, was upset by what he heard was coming, amen? And yet God always, whenever he brings in judgment or whenever he brings in correction, he always provides hope on the other side of that. If you're punished for something, amen, God will then turn that around for your good. If you're a son, if you're a daughter, amen, he doesn't punish us to destroy us, but he punishes us to teach us. Amen? How many here punished your children? You better raise your hand. You should be. Amen. If you love your kids, you discipline them. God disciplines us because he's a good father and he knows what's best for us. And he knows that we're prone to wander. Every one of us is prone to wander. And there are so many distractions and so many things that are screaming for our attention today to get us off track of what God has for us, which is better. God wants us to share in his glory someday. He wants to share his kingdom with us. Amen. And God is calling us to partner with him in his mission. And in order for us to do that, we have to have some kind kind of idea of what's up ahead, of what God is calling us to do in the days to come. If we don't have hope, we won't do anything. If we have hope, then we will put our hand to the plow and not looking back, because we understand that what God is calling us to do, amen, is better than what we think we want for us. God's way is superior. It's better. Hallelujah. And God wants us to have hope for the future, guys. He doesn't want us just sit around and wait for the rapture. He wants us to be busy, amen, waiting for that day when the Lord shall come. So, again, say it this way. Plan your life as if you have 100 years, but live as if you have one day. Amen? So live to bear fruit unto eternal life. That's why Galatians 6:9 says, let us what? Not become weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you do not faint or give up, right? You do not quit. So if you have hope, then you are like the farmer that goes out and plants that seed, amen, and waters that seed. Because even though you're not seeing anything right now, you know that this is good seed, amen? And you know that God is well able to make that harvest come in due season. You're not going to see it right away. But if you have hope of a harvest, if you're looking forward, amen, then you will be actively sowing and watering, amen, with an expectation of faith that God is going to make that thing that I've invested now in this life grow even into eternity, amen. And many did not receive the promise in their lifetime in Hebrews 11, but they saw, amen, through eyes of faith, they looked ahead to the promise of God and knew that God was faithful, that God one day would reward them for that which they had sown in this life. And they knew, just as Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce, amen, a harvest. You can take one kernel of corn, amen, and grow a whole corn stalk with just tons of corn, right? Of corn. And so God wants us to understand that what He gives us, what He puts in our hands, what He has put in our lives, what He has invested in us as His people is precious seed. Amen? Your gifts, your talents, the word that you receive is a precious seed that you can take and you can pass on with an expectation that what you do in obedience to God's will never return void. But in time, amen, it will never be in vain because God is faithful. Amen. And not to forget your labor of love and that you've shown love not only for non-believers, but for His people especially. Amen. God's got His eye on the church. Amen. We are His people, His bride that's being prepared for the day when Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, will come to receive us. And so God wants us to keep ourselves pure for Him. Amen. Because He's coming for a church without spot or blemish, right? So Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet said after he knew that the people were being obstinate, they were being rebellious, they were being stubborn, they weren't listening. So he says, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to wait on God until the Lord speaks to me. And he said in verse 1, I stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer. Listen to what he says when I am corrected. How many know we need to be personally responsible? Amen. God, I thank you that Joe was here today to hear this message, but he's taking responsibility for himself. He understood the people were being rebellious, but he was also willing to be taught. He was also willing to be corrected by the Lord himself. How many know a good minister is one that's willing to be corrected, all right? How many know that every one of us in this room are called to ministry of some type? You are a minister for the Lord. You're representing Him in the earth. And so as a representative of Him, we have responsibility before Him to obey Him and behave ourselves. So then the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. You know, sometimes God gives us instructions that are for right now. Other times God gives you an instruction that is for an appointed time in the future. But we need to understand that when God does speak to us, that we need to continue to have faith in His promise. That even though I don't see it right now, I have confidence that God is faithful to His Word, that God will do what He said He would do, and if I obey and come into compliance with Him, amen, get into harmony with Him and His will, if I'm walking with the Lord, and I'm listening to His instruction, and I'm willing to obey that instruction, that whatever I sow in obedience to His voice will in one day return, amen. And so therefore, if you have hope, amen, you have a confident assurance or a faith, amen, that God is going to do what He promised He would do in your life. Amen. And even though you may say, well, I'm old now and old in years. And you know what? Many people in their last years had bore more fruit than any time in their life previous. And so we need to understand that God has a season for every one of us here. Amen. Don't think that I'm just old and I'm, you know, I has been. Because if you're here today, God has you here for a reason. God has hope for you even this day. Hallelujah. As you get older, you just take on different responsibilities and different roles. You become fathers. Amen. And we should be mentoring those who are coming up in the ranks in the faith. You know, it's true. Sometimes I think the young women and young men, they do need some mentors. They do need some of us older saints to step in, amen, and to help them and to encourage them and to pray for them and to reach out to them as well. And I stand corrected sometimes myself. I get distracted in what I'm doing. And sometimes people can slip through the cracks. And how many know that this church is more than I can handle by myself? We need to all partner together. That's what God wants. He wants us to be a team, amen, for the glory of God and for the purpose of God to accomplish His mission. We can accomplish a whole lot more together, unified, amen, than we can just doing our own thing over here and over there. So He said this vision that I'm giving you is not for right away, but it's for an appointed time. And at the end, it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will surely come. It will not tarry. So this it, by the way, becomes a he in the New Testament. It's talking about the coming of the Lord to establish His rule, His reign in Jerusalem. And He's going to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is coming, guys. He's going to plant His feet on the Mount of Olives. And He's going to reign, hallelujah. And the nation shall be gathered before Him. And He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. That day is coming. And so right now, God has given us a promise of a future hope. And when the Lord comes, He will restore all things. Amen. And so we can look forward to that day, even though we see around us all the dysfunction and the things that are going on. We cannot look forward to that day when the Lord will return and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Like John said, even so, come Lord. Hallelujah. So the it referred to in Habakkuk becomes a he in the New Testament in Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, don't expect instant results in obeying the will of God for your life. Sow, water, with expectation, leave the harvest and the season of harvest up to God. He knows the appointed time, amen? We just need to be faithful with whatever He's put in our hands and say, now go and trade with it, amen? Do something with your life. I gave you your life for a reason, amen? So you can bear fruit unto eternal life, so you can have an abundant welcome into My kingdom someday, because that's God's plan. He wants to share His glory with us. For yet a little while, verse 7, and He who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, people that backslide, people that draw back are people that are unbelieving. People that have lost their faith, their confident assurance that God will do what He promised to do in His time and His season. When people lose vision, they perish, don't they? When they lose sight of where they're going, of the promise of God that's up ahead, then they begin to live in the moment without any expectation of good to come, and therefore, I'm just going to live it up now. I'm going to spend myself for right here and right now. And how many know that is a foolish way to live? Because you don't, amen, put your money or your investment into a bank that you know is going bankrupt. You don't get on a ship that you know is going to sink. So you got to get off that sinking ship, amen, and get onto the king, get into the kingdom of God, get on the ark, if you will, with Jesus, amen. That's the only security, hallelujah. God has a plan, God has a mission, God has a future, God has a hope for every one of us in this room. We need to look past the past, amen, and look forward to what God has and say, Lord, what is it that you've given me? What can I do for you? You've done so much for me. How can I love you back? Amen. How can I say thanks for all that you've done for me? I will give my body to you as a living sacrifice. I will commit my days and my future and my hope into your hands. I know that you are faithful and you are true. You are trustworthy. I know, God, that you can keep that which I've committed unto you against that day. I know that if I give my soul into the hands of the Lord, he knows how to take care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't try to take it back and say, well, no, don't worry about it, God. I got it. I got it from here on out. Amen. That's when we get into trouble. You got to trust him in every way. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he'll direct your path. So one of the Holy Spirit's ministries in John 16:13 is to show us things to come. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How many know that the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus? The Holy Spirit doesn't point to the vessel, to the person. You know, if you got, listen to the preacher, he's always talking about me and I and me and I. You got to be suspect, amen? Who are you representing here, you or Jesus, amen? The Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus, all right? So God does give his people information, doesn't he? He gives us indications of the things that lie ahead for them. And guys, without some indication, without an understanding of what you have been called to, you can very easily become discouraged in your walk. See, the devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants to paint a picture of bleakness for your future. The devil wants to say there's no hope for you. There's no point. Why serve? It's vain to serve the Lord. Same thing with the people in Malachi's day. Oh, they were thinking it was just vain to serve the Lord. They didn't understand that God's not about instant satisfaction, instant results, instant gratification. But God is into sowing and reaping, amen? And it's in his season. And he allows us to partner with him for the purpose of having an abundant welcome. Just like you who have children, understand that if your children are in compliance with the rules of the house and they're doing the right things, amen, well, you want to reward your children for good behavior. Amen? And you don't enjoy chastising your children, but sometimes you need to do that because they got to get the message. Because you care too much about them, amen? And so they're not going to understand it, and they're not always going to like it. Sometimes we don't like it when God disciplines us. But God loves us, right? And he does discipline us for good reason, because he knows what's best for his children. And if you're a child of his, you will be disciplined. Amen. If you're not a child of his, then you're not in Christ. You don't belong to him yet. Amen. But there are certain things God wants us to know. And so 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says this. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But that doesn't end there. All right, look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You know that. How can I know God's heart, God's thoughts, God's will? Well, through the Holy Spirit that he gives us. Amen. When you're born again and you have salvation, Christ is in you, then you have a teacher who will instruct you. Amen. Now, this is the key. Are we willing to trust his judgment? Are we willing to trust his counsel? Are we willing to do what he's telling us to do, even when it means I have to give up some things that I want to do so that I might follow him in his way? How many know that you never lose when you give up for God? You always gain. The devil wants you to think, well, you got to hold on to it. or you lose it. No, whatever you lose in obedience to God, you always gain a greater return. You make an investment of this life for that which will come. You make an investment of your time. Amen. God will reward you in eternity. You make an investment of your service to Him now. Amen. Not just living for self, to gratify self, to feel good. Sometimes the will of God will take you into a place where it doesn't feel good, at least initially. But I found out that sometimes when I'm not feeling good, the good feeling follows that. I found that sometimes you have to have weeping through the night, but in the morning, that's when the joy will come. And sometimes it may be a long night, but know this, that God promises to bring joy out of your sorrow. He will repay, you see. And God knows what it takes to get us into position to be yielded, to be humbled. Amen. Why did God bring Israel into the wilderness? To humble them. He brought them into a place they'd never been before, a place they didn't want to be. But God was trying to humble them and teach them to listen to His voice, obey His voice, because He had a promise for them up ahead. Amen. The same thing is true, guys. We need to be able to see beyond today and understand that God has a future and a hope for those who will trust Him. God will bring you into that promise, whether it's here in this world. Amen. But know this, that what you sow here, much of this, what you're doing now, you may not see in this lifetime. But if you really have confidence in God and hope in God, then you will give yourself knowing that someday when we see Jesus, we're going to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You trusted me with your life. You didn't try to save your life. You're willing to lay down your life just like I did that you might take it up again someday." Amen? Are you hearing me, somebody? How many know you can't lose if you give to God? But what you try to hoard and hang on to, you'll find out, won't last. You've heard it said many times, there's no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted the prophet Joel concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they were experiencing. And Joel was faithful to speak what the Lord gave him, even though he didn't see it in his day, because Joel, the prophet Joel, was looking forward. See, this prophets, we have the benefit, don't we, of the faithful prophets of God of old and the things that were recorded, that some have been fulfilled, many have been fulfilled already, these promises, but some are yet to be fulfilled because they were faithful men that were willing to obey God and write down the vision, amen, for future generations to come. You and I are receiving the benefit of this Bible, this word today, amen, because of the faithfulness of those who were willing to invest themselves in their lifetime, even with great persecution. Many of them were martyred even because they stood up for God. They were put to death. But they saw beyond the present. They saw beyond the momentary to the eternal. And they knew that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or think. All they wanted to do is be obedient to God. How many here want to obey the Lord? You want to be faithful to the Lord? And so here he is speaking and quoting the prophet Joel in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. This is when Peter stood up and preached this tremendous message. Remember? This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall..." How many know we should have some visions and some dreams today? Can you say amen? Amen. "And on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Hallelujah. In other words, we can speak for God, amen, because He's given us His Holy Spirit, amen, and He'll give us a message. He'll give us a word. He's just looking for somebody who will cooperate with Him and say, "Lord, here am I. I'll be a mouthpiece for you. Just give me what I need to say." "Oh, I'm not a very good speaker. That we'll leave that up to Pastor Keith or someone." Well, he's not a good preacher either, but let's leave it up to somebody else to do the speaking here. Are you hearing me? Hopefully somebody will go to them. Hopefully somebody will say something to them. But, oh, not me. I'm not a very good speaker. That sounds like Moses said, "Lord, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech," right? Some believe he had a speech impediment, right? A stutterer. Stutterer. And so Moses, God said, "Well, who made man's tongue," right? Who made you, in other words? You think I'm going to ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing? How many know that you can do exactly what God says you can do by His power? Amen? And not by yourself, but in His power, in His strength, in His ability, you can do exactly what God called you to do. And what He calls you to do is bigger than you are, beyond what you can do. But that way, God is glorified because people says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Listen to the things that he's saying. Look at the miracles. You understand that God wants to use us to manifest His glory through us in this world. And we've got to be obedient to the call. We've got to be willing to trust God to do what He says we can do when He calls us. You know, He doesn't call us because we're qualified, right? He'll qualify those He calls. So if He's called us, He's going to qualify us to do what He's called us to do. If we will trust Him, we will receive the benefits. Amen. Of an obedient life and the commendation from the Lord. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. God's looking for available vessels, guys. He's looking. Job was a visionary. He saw forward, amen. And Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. You know, what we don't need is false divinations. We don't need divinations of our own imaginations. Amen. We don't want dreams and visions that we create in our own heart. What we need is a vision from God, a dream from God. Amen. If we ask, we'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, God will open the door to you. Amen. You can't just be casual about your relationship with Him, your walk with Him. If you want to hear from God, amen, pursue Him. Seek His heart. If you seek, you'll find. God will reveal Himself to those who are hungry. For blessed are the hungry. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He didn't say, blessed are the passive. Blessed are those who sit around and hope something's going to change, something's going to happen. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And how many know the Lord is our righteousness? Amen. We don't seek dreams and visions. We seek the Lord, and He'll give dreams and visions. He'll begin to reveal to you His heart. If you're obedient, He'll give the Holy Spirit to you. If you're willing to cooperate with Him, He'll know He has a vessel He can trust. And it doesn't start with big things. It starts with little assignments. Just being faithful day by day. Amen. Whatever God has put before you, just be a good steward over that. And know that God will reward you. Amen. And increase that as you've been faithful to that. Isaiah was a visionary. He saw the Lord on His heavenly throne, didn't he? And it changed his life forever. Daniel was a man of vision. He saw kings and kingdoms for centuries to come. And the book of Daniel is very interesting. A lot of things that we read in there we see happening today, don't we? King David saw the Messiah coming from the lineage, from his lineage. And so the apostles Peter and Paul in the New Testament were also men of vision, weren't they? That's why they were able to endure what they endured. If you have hope, if you really have confidence or faith in God, then you're willing to endure anything, to be obedient to Him. You understand? If we really trust that God has only good in store for those who trust Him and those who love Him, then even though there may be temporary inconvenience or suffering in this present life, we know, even as it says in Hebrews, that there's some that they didn't receive, amen, deliverance from martyrdom, that they might have a better resurrection. They knew if they died for Jesus, hallelujah, they'd have a better resurrection. Amen. So whether we live or we die, we live for Christ. Amen. For me to live, Paul, is Christ, and to die is what? Is gain. So hallelujah. We have a reason to live, and we have a reason to die as God's people. But let's be about our Father's business. Let's get a hold of God this year and just be seeking Him. Say, God, what do you have for me this year? Amen. Not I'm standing up to make a New Year's resolution and hopefully I'll be able to keep it. It's find out what God has for your future, not what you want for it. What God has is better. And sometimes God's going to call you to give up what you want so that you can have what He has, which is always better. In Hebrews 11:13, this is a chapter that talks about by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, Abraham, Sarah, etc. In verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Having seen them afar off. Having vision of what was yet to come, they saw into the future that even though I may not see the results of my faith and my investment into the kingdom, into the hearts of men and women around me, amen, and children, I saw through eyes of faith that someday what I invested will come back. There will be a return. That's why we should not become weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall, not might, we shall reap. That's why we should keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep on witnessing. Keep on being on spot with Jesus in the moment. Amen. Today. Because you know that whatever you're giving up for God, you won't lose. But if you try to save your life, He says you'll lose it. What did they do? They saw them far off and were assured of them. They embraced them because they believed God and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How many know that there's not a modern gospel? This is the same gospel. You and I are pilgrim people. Our citizenship is where? In heaven, amen. And if that's the case, then we're living for that kingdom. And we're under the command, amen, of our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you and I are called to partner with Him in His mission here and sow into that which will be, understanding that God is faithful and will not forget your labor of love. Acts 7:23. Now when he, Moses, was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. Now think about this. Moses had received a vision from God. God had given Moses a glimpse of what was coming. And so Moses, okay, in this moment, he struck this man, amen, and he killed him. And he supposed that the children of Israel were going to embrace him and welcome him and say, thank you for doing that. But it says that they did not understand. As you know, as it went on, they began to accuse him, right? And he got scared and he flew. He got out of there, right? So what was happening here? Sometimes people are not going to get you. They're not going to understand what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. Amen? But even if you get rejection from people, even doing something good for somebody, I heard a brother say one time, no good deed left unpunished. Sometimes it's like that. You're loving, and Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. Is you're loving people and you're trying to do what's best for them, and sometimes they just reject you and cast you out and say, get out of here, I don't want to hear it. But Moses had gotten a glimpse of the future and the hope of being the deliverer, amen, of God's people, Israel. And so he, at that time, you know, it wasn't time for him to ascend necessarily to that position. But it was, what, 40 years later? Here he is 40, so he must have been 80 years old, right, if I do the math right. 40 years old when he was called, and 40 years later, amen, God finally has got Moses probably into the place where he needs to be, even in his own heart, where he could be entrusted with this responsibility of being the deliverer, amen, of his people. So understand, guys, be faithful. Don't be in a hurry. Wait on God. Stay in step with the Spirit. And as you are faithful, amen, God will advance you. God will promote you. God will open up greater opportunity for you in the days to come. And don't think, well, I'm just a child. I can't speak, or, you know, I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't do this, or who am I? Whatever. Know that God, if He calls you, and He's going to also equip you. God has given us His Holy Spirit so we can do what He's told us to do in His power and in His authority. Not in ourselves. Yeah, if I'm trusting in myself, forget it. Some people have some natural ability, and they may be eloquent in speech, amen, but their speech is going to be void of life and power if it's not submitted to God's authority, amen. If it's not by the power of the Holy Spirit that they're speaking, hello, you can have a great message. It can be structurally sound, it can be doctrinally correct, but it could be dead unless it's submitted to the heart of God, amen. We're under the authority of the Holy Spirit and trusting for the utterance that He gives. And not how well I can speak and convince somebody or persuade somebody to believe God. How many know there's some people that are really good at persuading people? Some of our political activists, amen, are pretty good at persuading people, amen, but usually with a selfish ambition, a selfish motive. But you and I, as representatives of Christ, are not here just to persuade people for our own gain. But, amen, we need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be vessels that God would work through to draw all men and women to Him. And as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, as we exalt Him, amen, as we make great His name and praise Him, make boast in God. That's why testimonies are powerful. We can talk about what God did for us. And what a testimony will do is bring that spirit, amen, of prophecy into the now. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, and what He did then, it can happen even today. As you hear the message, hope arises in someone's heart and says, well, God did that for Scott. God did that for this person. He can do that for me. That's why God wants you to be faithful in whatever He's done, whatever He's done for you. You have something to offer back. God's given you precious seed. Don't think I don't have anything to offer. If you're in Christ, you have something to offer. Therefore, we need to be patient. Wait on God's timing. Because His promises will come to pass. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What did Moses say? He says, you know what? I'm willing to step down from my throne. I'm willing to step down from this high position, you know, where he had all the riches of Egypt. He had this authority. He had this notoriety. He had the recognition and the importance of being a high official in the land. He was willing to identify with the people of God. He says, I'm willing to step down because I know if I will step down and I will identify myself with Christ, the day will come when God will elevate me. Amen. When God elevates me, no man can take that from me. See, some people, they're too caught up in their own ego and their own appearance. Guys, sometimes even clergy get caught up in numbers and nickels and all this stuff. You know, it's not about making merchandise out of people. I would rather have a cluster of disciples, amen, that are in love with Jesus, that are serving the Lord, that are doing the will of God for their life, than having a big mega church, amen, and having all the bells and the whistles and the bright lights and all the stuff and the best entertainment money can buy. Are you hearing me? And yet having people by the droves going to hell because they're not being taught the truth. They're not being loved enough, amen. Instead, we're too worried about saving face and keeping up with the Joneses and how well are you doing, brother? And how many you running, brother? And how well do you look in the eyes of man? How about how well do you look in the eyes of God? Are you rich towards God? Have you been obedient to God? Hallelujah. Some people, God's calling you just to do something very simple. Amen. It's not going to be a public ministry, but if you're faithful to whatever God has called you to do, it may be an intercession, ministry of intercessory prayer. Amen. But you're faithful in that, God will reward you. He'll put you right up there with the others who have been faithful, even in maybe big things. It's not how big, it's what you do with what you have. And are you faithful to what you've been called to do? Some of you are here called to encourage others. Amen. To edify others. Some of you called to be, you have a heart of a servant. You like to help others. Amen. Some of you have been given the gift of mercy. You show mercy. Amen. To other people. All of us have been gifted some way. If we would all just take this together, put it together. Amen. This body would be so much healthier. Amen. We have a great church family. I agree. Amen. But God wants us to bring closer together this year. And each one of us just pull together and discover what can we do to advance the cause of Christ. Not the advance of the cause of Keith, amen, or myself, but the cause of Christ this year. Jesus bled and died on that cross, amen, for us. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves our service. Can we not even get out of bed and come to church? Say, the people of God are coming together. Amen. I need to be there. I need to be there to make a difference in somebody else's life. Amen. If nothing else, just you coming here makes a difference today. How many are glad that people came today? Amen? And when you see everybody coming in, amen, that you haven't seen, especially if you haven't seen them for a long time, you're like, oh, I'm so glad to see you again. Amen? It doesn't mean necessarily that you've been assigned to this church, but it is good to see you. Amen? But you have something to offer. Just your presence is a blessing. Why? Because Christ is in you. And you are light. You take your anointing with you everywhere. You take the glory of God with you everywhere. You take your gifts, amen? You take the angels that are assigned to you with you everywhere. So when we're coming together, amen, with the right heart to seek the Lord and to be a blessing to someone else, we sing this song at the nursing home every week as a closing song. It's called Make Me a Blessing. And it says, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Someone today. God wants you to be a blessing to someone today. He doesn't want you to be self-serving. He wants you to serve. It's more blessed to serve, isn't it? And to be served. And I find that if I take care of somebody else, if I refresh others, I myself am watered. I myself am refreshed. Amen. God will give you opportunities. Ask Him. Seek Him. He'll show you. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Any visions that we have for our lives must find their rightful place in the Lord's will for us. Talked about resolutions. Thinking, you know, planning things out. You know, guys, God will give you His vision. Amen. But we have to be careful that we don't substitute His vision for ours. Are you hearing me? Well, I know what the Bible's, I know what God expects, but I think my idea is actually a better idea. It's like a clump of clay saying, you know what, I don't like the way you made me, right? I think I want to look like this instead. But the master potter knows how to make that vessel, right? A vessel of honor. If we're willing to put our lives in His hands and let Him do that work. Let Him do that molding. And be obedient. Submit yourself and say, okay, Lord, You decide from now on. I've got ideas about my life, but I'm going to run everything by Your desk. I'm going to run everything by Your throne and say, Lord, what do You say? Oh, I can keep this? Great. Oh, get rid of that? Okay, great. It goes. Hebrews 6:10, I've been quoting this. For God is not unjust to forget your labor, your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards His name. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Again, if you have hope and you have assurance, you will be diligent in your service for the Lord. He didn't say just sit around and hope something will change. Hope something will happen. I wish Joe would do something. I wish Joe would clean that toilet. How about you grabbing a brush and go in and clean that toilet? No. I didn't feel led. I know. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish. That word sluggish also means lazy or dull. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. If you have hope, then you will have confident assurance that what you're doing in the now, even though you're not seeing instant results, one day will return to you. Amen? God is faithful. Keep on giving. Keep on loving. Keep on serving. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. And what you have invested in the season of God's appointment will return to you. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good deal because God's returns are superior to my returns. Some people are putting all their money in the stock market, and I'm not opposed to doing that. But if all you're doing is investing in yourself, well, you may take care of your life in this life. But what you have sown into the kingdom, what you have given even financially into the support of God's kingdom business, how many know that that will account to your heavenly account? And it'll be forever. I practice giving, guys, in my finances. We practice it. Not just tithing, but also giving, because I know God is faithful, amen? And it just, nobody has to know about it. I'm not going around saying, look what I'm doing. Look how spiritual I am, amen? No, we do it in secret, but we give unto the Lord, amen? And if we are faithful in our giving, God says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus. He's saying, guys, be givers. Invest yourself. Don't always be just asking for handouts. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times people are always asking for handouts because they're never giving. And because they're never giving, they're not going to have the blessing or the favor of God in their financial situation. Sometimes God's going to call us to do something sacrificially in our finances. We're going to have to sow a big seed with hope and expectation that if God told me to do this, then God's going to take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't want to hold on to that and make that thing, that money, a God in my life that is greater than God's will. Are you hearing me, somebody? I think we should take an offering right now. No. You know, we have a lot of faithful people here that are givers. And they're giving because they love to. They want to. Not because, well, God told me I have to give this amount. No, it's like, forget it. Hang on to it then. Don't. You'll enjoy all right now, but forget about later on. Amen. God says, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Give of your life. Give yourself back to Him. Lord, what would you have me to do? Guys, sometimes God's going to challenge us to go beyond what we think we can do, but God will always show Himself faithful when you obey His word, His instruction for you. I found that to be true. Someday I'll have Bruce come up here and testify. He's got quite a testimony of how he came over. And just very snapshot of his life. I'll let him talk to you, but just how God had taken care of him, you know, through some very lean times. But he had been faithful to give and to tithe. And God always took care of him. And I can tell you, Heysook and I, when we started to really say, okay, we're going to leap out here and we're going to start practicing this, not in a legalistic sense. Oh, down to the penny. No, we're just going to be extravagant givers. We're going to start giving, amen, into the kingdom business. And you know what I've seen God do? I've seen God put me to the front of lines many times, looking for a job. I got the job, amen. God gave us, opened up a door of ministry for us. There was 30-something resumes in there. And some of them had more degrees than the thermometer, but God just gave me favor and said, that's where, you know. And put me, what? Because God will take care of you. If you honor Him, He'll honor you. If you trust Him, He'll take care of these things. Heysook and I have always had a roof over our head, amen? Sometimes it wasn't the Taj Mahal, but thank God we had a roof, amen? Even if it was canvas, it was a great roof. No, I'm just kidding. But God will take care of us, amen? He's always taking care of us. We've always had a place to live. We've always been able to eat because we know that if we give to God, you don't lose it. All right. I actually hadn't planned on talking about this, but praise God, it's good stuff. Amen. It's true. It's very true. Because Jesus said so. That's my authority. So don't become sluggish. Don't become lazy or dull. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So don't become fatalistic. I'm going to finish with this, okay? Don't become fatalistic. Don't adopt the attitude that says whatever will be, will be. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So why worry about it? Why do anything? See, those who inherit the promises of God are those who are very deliberate about it. Those who receive from God are those who are very deliberate in seeking God. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are very diligent, amen, to seek the Lord for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't reward passivity. God rewards faith. And faith is a confident assurance that will motivate me to some type of action. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek God. Are you hearing me, somebody? I've got to study the Word. Get into the Word. If you have faith that God's going to feed you, He's going to teach you, get into the Word and listen for His voice. God will highlight things. God will begin to show you things. But you can't be lazy. You can't be sluggish and passive. Well, I hope so. No, get on about getting. Get in with Jesus and say, Lord, where are we going today? What's going on today? What would you have us to do today? God will make a way. He'll make a way. He's faithful. He's true. So, Lord, I just thank you today for your word. I thank you for this message of hope that we have, God, that we serve the God of all hope, that you have a future, Lord, for every one of us here, that you want to show us things to come. Father, I pray that you give us those dreams and give us those visions that are from your heart. Lord, deliver us from divination. Deliver us from prophesying or even living out of our own experience or our own hearts. But God, to trust in your will. Your word is your will, Father God. Your word is always true. It's always settled, God, and it doesn't change. I pray, Father, that you give us confirmation, Lord, even as to what is your will and your vision for this future. The days that come, Lord, in Jesus' name. So don't be fatalistic, guys. That's not God's way. Do you understand? There are a lot of people who have lived way below their potential in God because of fatalism. Because they just think, oh, it's just going to happen someday. Well, maybe if the angel come down, you know, and stirs the water. Maybe if, you know, something dramatic happens, there must be a reason God has me here because I would have been gone a long time ago if it wasn't for God wanting me to be here. Oh, how about finding out what God wants for you to do? Because it doesn't matter how old you are here. Amen. These can be your best days. If you're willing to partner with God and say, Lord, I want to go out with a bang. Amen. I don't want to just kind of scrape by or crawl across the finish line. Amen. I want to have an abundant welcome into the kingdom. How about you? So be faithful. Find out what you can do for the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It just needs to be faithfulness to whatever he's shown you to do. Some of you have a ministry, amen, that will just call people and encourage them and pray for them. And you know, are you hearing me, somebody? Amen. And you being here, praise God for those who greet at the door. Hallelujah. How many know they won't lose a reward for that? They're letting their light shine out there and they're welcoming people in, amen, so that they and people know that they're cared about, that they're loved here. Amen. For those who receive the offering, you say, oh, they're just receiving it. Well, you're serving as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, and your job site, wherever you find yourself in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. If you live your life as an act of worship before the Lord will reward you in time. Amen. In that season. Because, listen, guys, what you do in the natural has a connection to the spiritual. If you're a person of integrity, amen, God sees that. If you're an honest, hardworking person, God sees that. Amen? Because you're representing him. Hallelujah. And you please your Father. Hallelujah. We should be the most trustworthy, most dependable people on the planet. Amen? We shouldn't always be asking for help. If you need help, ask for help. Amen? But don't live in a continual... Come on. You need to get over something, great, ask for help, amen. But let's not adopt the lifestyle that says, I'm just always needing, I'm a born needer. God has given you something, amen, you can work with, something you can do. God gives the ability for people to get wealth, amen. He can give you wisdom. He gives you creativity. He gives you the ability, to think through things and to solve problems and not panic and not take out the plastic. Whoa! The buy now, cry later card, you know. But God has a way for us. He'll make a way. Okay. I think you guys got it, didn't you? How many here really are just excited about this coming year? How many of you are hopeful about this coming year? Amen. Guys, God has given you and I an opportunity this year to serve him. We need people to serve here. We need you to join with us here. Amen. If this is your church home, get plugged in. Say, what can I do to help out? We need Royal Rangers workers. We need children's workers. We need nursery workers. Amen. We need people, amen, that can preach to get up here and people that may play instruments. Amen. If you can play it decent enough. Of course, that disqualifies me now. But anyway, we just need people to get involved and say, Lord, what can I do? Even to be an encouragement, to be a smile and a God bless you and how you doing, brother, sister, it's good to see you. Can I pray for you about anything? What are you going through right now? How's life? Are you hearing me? We have an opportunity to cross-pollinate when we get together. Amen? And God wants us to be about his business. Soon and very soon, we'll take our last breath. And then it won't be any time to go back and say, well, now, God, I'll go back and serve. Who you are when you die is who you will be for eternity. If you're not ready when you die, you're not going to be ready for eternity. If you're not saved when you die, you're not going to heaven. If you haven't repented of, you truly repented of your sins and been born of God's Spirit, you're not going to heaven. You need to repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you. Amen? And renounce all other gods, all other ways except His way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's not many ways, there's one way, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So guys, understand that's why we commit ourselves to the will of God. Amen? Because someday we're going to take our last breath. Amen? And if we've just lived a temporary life and spent everything here and now and just on this life, that's it. Are you hearing me? That's all you're going to see. There's going to be no return on that. That's why Jesus said, listen, I want to share with you. I want you to have an abundant welcome. I want you to have treasure in heaven. That's why I'm asking you. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising its shame. But He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Because of the joy set before Him, He saw you and I with Him, His family. Because of His sacrifice and what He gave up in the temporary, amen, He gained many sons and daughters, amen, in eternity because He saw ahead. God wants you to look ahead, guys. Don't look back and stare, amen, forgetting those things which are behind. Doesn't matter how badly you've blown it. God doesn't hold it against you anymore. If you repented of those things, amen, praise God, receive your forgiveness. Go forward. Hallelujah. Today is a new day. It's a new beginning for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You for the help that You give me every day. God, I understand that without You, Lord, I really cannot do anything of any eternal value. But Lord, I know I'm among family today, brothers and sisters, who really want the same thing. God, we all want to serve You. We all want to please You. We all want to live our lives well. With eternity in view. Father, I ask You to remove the veil from our eyes and allow us to see a glimpse of what You have in store. Even as we dream at night, God, that You will give us Your dreams. Give us Your visions, God. Give us even the vision of our heart that we can understand and know what You're calling us to this coming year, Father. Lord, we know that You are coming again to receive Your people, Your bride. And I pray, God, that every one of us will, in that day, be confident. We'll have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as You were in this world, so are we. Make us like You, Lord. Transform us into Your image. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. Even this year, I pray, Father, for exponential growth in every individual here. God, that we're going to grow. We're going to get on fire for God. We're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. God, we're going to prophesy in Your name. We're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to cast out demons. We're not going to be afraid of anything or anyone. God, I pray that You would empower us by Your Spirit and reveal to us the plan, the purpose of God. Hallelujah. God, it's not about the vessel. It's about the mighty God that we serve, the God of the vessel who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God, as we're relying upon Your power, Your ability, God, we know that You will use us even to do exploits for Your name's sake, that the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted, that the prophets of Baal will be put to shame. God, we pray, arise in our land, arise in this nation, arise in this city. Arise, O Lord, and drive out Your enemies. Like smoke, drive them away, Almighty God. Father, let heaven come down in this city. Lord, arrest every wayward son and daughter. Bring them to repentance, God. I pray the fear of God to take every soul, God, and bring them to an awareness of their need of Your mercy, God, that we might be saved, Lord, that we might be prepared, for that day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. God, make us ready for that day, each one of us. As we, Your bride, Lord, are in preparation, God, we pray that You purify us and make us holy, make us like You, God. And we'll have no other gods, no other lovers. In Jesus' name.